Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus. The music has been wonderful today. I appreciate so much everyone that worked so hard to be a part of it, to prepare the hearts. Amen for the preaching. I thank God for it, and I do believe in the old-time way. And I believe Jesus. We have a pair of glasses that were found in the parking lot, and just if these are yours, come and get them. They do look like they're prescription, Yeah, their prescription. And if they're yours, come and get them. If they're not yours, if you take them, you're stealing. If you just want to try and see if they work for you, just come and, you know, in case they stay here a while, you can do that as well. Exodus chapter number 13, and we'll kind of be at the end of the chapter 13 and beginning of 14. A very familiar passage of Scripture, but I believe a place that will help us tonight. And sometimes the familiarity and being reminded of some things helps us as we go forward. One of the things that we want to go forward in is in faith and not fear. Here it's very clear that God tells them to fear not, you know, and they come to a place that is fearful. They come to a place where they didn't see a way. And we've heard that preached and we've seen it. But one of the things as I studied through this and something that caught my eye, I love the words that God put in his Bible. And every word means so much. And as we study his word, when we get, you know, we can't pick it clean, you know, and we just want to make sure that we are always studying the word of God. Tonight, I want to just be able to take you to a very familiar story and just remind you about some things. And hopefully we'll leave tonight with a deeper appreciation for the God that we serve. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, God, as we embark on a brand new school year, Lord, as we head into the fall. And so many things that sometimes we see the calendar just in the amount of things that we have to do going forward, Lord. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed with fear, Lord. But help us not to be overwhelmed by fear, but overwhelmed by faith in a holy God that has power to do the unthinkable for us. And we thank you for all that you'll do tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Exodus chapter number 13, if you would. I want you to begin reading with me. And I want you to see that God starts out here. I'll just do a little bit of background, if I could, before I begin reading that chapter 13 and verse 17. Chapter 13 and verse 17. I think that most of you understand that predating this, we've had the plagues, the 10 plagues, and we've had every one of them were purposefully brought and on to Egypt to defy the gods or the little g gods of the Egyptians. God wanted to show himself mighty. God wanted to show himself that he was stronger. He wanted to not just prove that because the Egyptians didn't know him and to declare himself, but because they really were standing up against him, or Pharaoh himself calling himself a god is standing and not letting God's people go. God had a plan, a purpose, and had the power to complete it. And we can see that clearly from a story that we've heard over and over again as God takes them and pulls them with these plagues and finally breaks Pharaoh with the killing of his firstborn son, which is something that when we have Passover, we realize that's something that the Jews look way back to and continue to see. And again, Jesus coming and fulfilling that as the Passover lamb. But as they come out with great power, God wasn't done showing the Egyptians or his people that he was powerful. We're all too, when we know, every one of us tonight that are saved and on our way to heaven, know that something that is more powerful than us took place in our lives, but we are all too quick to forget just how much power God have. Tonight, it has been sung about where God got me from and where I am today. Boy, I can tell you, we can look back on that. And if we were to really ponder that, we see how much power God really had. Because we didn't have any power to drag ourselves up out of the miry clay. We had no power to change ourselves. If you had told me when I was a teenage boy that I'd be standing up here preaching, suited up tonight, I'd have told you were crazy. Because I didn't have power to choose that, number one. I didn't want that. But beyond that, I didn't have the power to even do it. I'd have been scared to death to do what I'm doing tonight. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying that God is God for a reason. He has a plan. He chooses whom he will. God wants to use and set a plan and then use that plan to fulfill his purposes. And then through his power, let us stand back and go, man, what a God we serve. Do you know this school year is a great opportunity, teachers, just to remind you that if you don't have a little bit of fear and have to have faith that God can make up the difference, then you're in trouble. Because if you think you can handle it, you really are starting a year off wrong. Amen. If you're starting it off in faith in yourself that I got this, I've done it for so long, listen, you need to start out in faith that God can do it again. He's done it in the past and he can do it again. Whatever your shortcomings, maybe you're moving into another position and you're just as fearful as you can be and scared to death that you're going to make a mistake, then you just follow God and work his plan and his purpose and watch his power take care of what you can't take care of. Too many times you say, well, preacher, what about me? I don't work at the church. I don't work in the school. I don't work at the college. God works the same way. Whether it's Burger King, amen, or the biggest corporate office that you can find down the road here, God works the same way. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you'll follow it, he'll come through with his power and show himself mighty even in your life. You say, in the secular realm, absolutely. He wants to show himself faithful to his people. And beyond that, he brings a witness or a worship of himself. The witness of him helps us worship. Do you know a lot of times our witness ought to be worship? Amen. It ought to be a time where we just talk good about what God has already done. When they get on the other side of the Red Sea, boy, they write a song that's written several times in the scripture. And boy, they still sing it to this day. I mean, they just cannot help but praise God for what he did. They look back. This was a monumental moment in the life of a nation to the place where they look back to it over and over and over again. In verse 17, he says this, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. I just want to stop for a minute. I want to tell you that the Red Sea moment that we have was a part of God's plan. Do you know sometimes when we see hardship or maybe even a challenge that you face in your life today, or maybe you're going to go out and face it tomorrow, whatever that is, you realize God may have brought that across your path because he's a big God and he can help you through it, and he wants you to lean on him again. He doesn't want us just to put it in neutral and to coast the rest of the way home. He wants us to be prepared for the next battle. Tomorrow's war is something that we can't see ourselves getting through, but God sees the battle down the road and realizes if we don't get fit for the battle today, we won't be fit for the battle down the road. Hey, how about the Landmark Baptist Church and all the battles that we fought in the past? But God brought us through all those things because there's battles in the future. There are battles to come. I'm not naive to think that just if we coast along, listen, you know, if we're going to hold the old time way, they're going to be, listen, they hated Jesus and crucified him. And if we're going to live right and just in this world and be Christians and be a witness for that Christ, guess what's going to happen? Persecution will come. I don't know what color, flavor, or whatever it's going to be, but I guarantee you it'll come down the pike and it will attack the Lord's church from the outside. But I'm glad that the church, listen, we got a great promise to exist until Jesus comes back for us. And we can keep the faith and walk the chalk and do what God wants us to do and keep his plan and his purpose and see his power come through over and over again. And we don't have to fear. We can go forward in faith. He says here, this is his plan. He said, you know what? It would have been easier. Now that I have pushed Pharaoh, cut down all 10 of the gods that I showed off, and I mean, I flexed my muscles and showed him who really was boss around here. And now he's turned my people loose and they're ready to go. You know, they could go around the way of the Philistines. That'd be the easy way. I don't know about you, but every preacher I've ever served under never wanted to do it the easy way. Now, I'm not complaining. Hey, thank you. Anyway, so it means I'm a lot like them. Amen. But I'm just saying, sometimes, I mean, I've been on the roof of a preacher, and he, you know, some of it's training. I showed up with an air nailer. All right. He had a box of old-fashioned nails. They don't fit in that air nailer. And he had hammers that he bought, and he had bought pouches for the boys to tie on. He said, what did you bring that thing for? I said, I don't know. Amen. And we went to beat nails. Now, some of them boys beat their nails as much as they beat those nails. But they learned some things while they were up there, you know. And I heard preacher tell them, what are you doing? You choking up too high on that thing. You know, they grab right on the hammer and try to do it like this, you know. Can't get no leverage like that. You know, it takes a little while for them to learn. Amen. Not to hit the wrong nail. You say, really, that's the way it is? Yeah, sometimes God's plan of training is to take us sometimes through the hard way so we can learn some things. Because what we think is the biggest trial of our life is just the beginning of the battles. It's just the start. I want you to kind of, I don't want to get, you know the story, so I don't think I'm going to let you in on anything, but well, by the time we get to chapter 14 and verse 14, he says that God is going to fight for them. Now, God goes with them in a lot of the other battles when they cross over and they get into Canaan land, but he doesn't fight them all for them. He gets in them, but he don't fight them all. This one, God fights for them. They don't raise a sword. They don't raise a brick. They don't chunk a stone. They cross over and God takes care of it, Pharaoh's army. I want you to see in verse 18, he says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. It means that God had, with great power, the Egyptians gave unto them, if you remember, as they went out. They didn't have a lot of things, but I mean, they really stole the Egyptians blind. They just borrowed and gave them everything for their journey. And they went out. They're going to get out there. God had a purpose in that too. He's going to build his tabernacle. He is going to build everything they needed. They're toting out into the wilderness to be able to worship God and to do it first class. They have no idea that's God's plan. But they go up out of the land, harnessed down with all these things. And Moses took look at it with me. He says, look, the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now I want you to see that God goes with them. There's an evident presence of the Lord with them as they are following. When God takes us through the wilderness or through the hard places, God will go with us and it will be evident that he is on his way with us. You know, as we enter into the 50th year, you know, you ought to realize that we didn't get 50 years deep into this school thing without God going with us. All right, we ought to realize that, you know, God didn't just, you know, we didn't just drop off, and this isn't our first rodeo. This is a place God has led us to, and God was taking us through 49 years in the past, and he'll take us through another one. God will take us through another college year and through another year as a ministry, as a church, and God can do above all that we would ever ask or think if we would just go forward in faith. You say, well, preacher, He shows up in a pillar of fire and a pillar. But listen, God shows up to me on a daily basis in his word. You know, sometimes I can't believe. Today, I just was reading through again. And when God shows himself, and again, it awed me. Because there's so many things that sometimes people teach that just aren't true about God. Do you know that when Moses is about to go up to the mountain, get the law from God, he calls and says, bring all them 70 elders of Israel and bring them up with him. And all of those men see God. You say, what did they see God? Go back and read it for yourself, all right? I mean, they see God and they see the ground and they see him as enlarged. And they see the ground, it talks about like a sapphire stone all around God. It was the way they described it, even just what they could see of God. Now, they weren't all the way up and didn't walk into the thickness of the cloud, but they could see the base of the mountain where God was. And it says they saw God. You say, well, I didn't think anybody could see God and live. Well, God called them up there. God says, you come on up. I want you to be up here. Folks, I don't know about you, but every bit of God that I've ever seen in my life is what he's revealed to me in his word. And then he shows me something else. And when he shows me and takes me to some other place, he shows me something else. I get so excited when I get in the word of God and God gives me one more thing to study out and to run. And then in that study, usually there's one more thing to find in God's word. And it becomes more and more. It doesn't ever douse my fire. It puts gasoline on it. It doesn't ever weigh me down. It works me out in my Christian faith. It makes me believe and believe and believe that God has a plan and a purpose and has power. I want you to see here in chapter 14, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before," I'm going to mess with this one up, "Pahathroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before that it shall come, yes, she encamped by the sea." Now, these are words that, I don't know about you, but these are not English words. They're transliterated into the English, and I don't use them on a daily basis. But God is trying to give us, you know, there are so many people that try to discount the Red Sea crossing. Pastor has often said that, you know, they always say that it's a mistranslation and it should be another E in there. And instead of the Red Sea, it's the Reed Sea. And pastor said, well, that's a greater miracle because God drowned Pharaoh and all his army in 3 inches of water. Amen. But it wasn't, though. It's not a mistranslation. It's not wrong spelling. It was the Red Sea. God did a great miracle and drowned Pharaoh's army there. And I want you to realize that here, God brings them to a place and he gives us a picture of where they go. Now, again, a lot of people have speculated all those places, and we could take an estimation and take a really good guess at where they crossed the Red Sea. But I think the important thing is God gave us what he wanted us to have. All right? So he gave us three words to place where he sent them and told them to encamp by the sea, right before they were going to cross. And so the first word, the Pihathiroth, that big word, just simply means the mouth of the gorges. So right there by the edge of the sea, that God, he gives us one of the markers to triangulate. You need three positions. All right, to figure out right where God's people were, I want you to understand God gives us reasoning, and he says they're right at the sea. So the mouth of an opening by the Red Sea, the mouth of the gorge, is the first point that he gives us. So we realize we're there. And then there's mountains on both sides. As God describes, if we were to read all of the passage tonight, we'd realize that they're hemmed in. The sea is in the mouth of this gorge, and on each side are mountains on either side. One is called Migdol. Strong's Concordance says that this was some type of an Egyptian stronghold on a mountainous plain. There are ruins that they found there, and they've attributed them to a much later time. But again, it could have been built on. If you go up to St. Augustine, there's a fort there, but there's a fort under the fort and a fort under that fort. Because a lot of times when they build a fort, they build it in a really good place. But sometimes when they take it over, they decide to build another one on top of the foundation that was there. And so we don't really know how old it was, but Migdol just means tower. It's a watchman's tower, a place by the sea that the Egyptians would watch for armies that were crossing over. It sounds like this place might have been a place of crossing. If you had a place that you can encamp about 2 million people, you could camp a 2 million people army there, couldn't you? And it'd be a really good place for the Egyptians to put something by the tower. Now, the other place, we still really don't have a lot of ideas, but it was a name that was familiar to me and really got me thinking about it, and I wanted to study it out. The word Baal is often up in Scripture, and it's always talking about some type of false god. And here, this position or the place that it's given here is Baal Zephon. All right, now, it is identified, again, in the Strong's, and even in the Hebrew word that's written here, the definition of it is this: it's the Lord of hidden things, the Lord of the north, the Lord of darkness. Now, that God, when you search any kind of Egyptian God that could have been identified with that name, there was only one God that could have been identified with the hidden things, and he was not attacked or destroyed back in Egypt with the 10 plagues. All the small g gods, they had one god that was the god of their gods, whose name was Amun. Later on, they joined it together with the Pharaoh for Amun-Ra. Do you know that they believed that that god, listen to the things that they attributed to him, he was the god of all the gods. He was the one that brought all them to be. All the Greek gods really come down through these things that Egypt had. And I want you to see this. He was the creator of the universe. He was called the king of the gods. He was called the self-created one. But in the scripture, the word that's given here is Baal Zephon in the Hebrew word that's transliterated into the English for us tonight is simply the God of hidden things. And the one that he is most known for, going all the way back to his foundation, this Amun, was God of hidden things. You know that the word underneath of that in the Hebrew that gave another definition was invisible. Now, I don't know about you, but I serve a God. God the Father is invisible. Amen. All right? Now, he has sent his son, and I believe the pillar of fire and all those things, but you know how he shows up? He shows up in power. Amen. But you know, the one true God, the one that is the creator, the one that never was created. He didn't self-create himself. He just always was. That same God, you know, he had destroyed and tore down all the ideas of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But you know, God knew that the wars weren't over for his people. He realized they were about to make a crossing and they thought it was cheer. Woo! We made it. It's all over. All the battles are done. The battles were just starting to begin. The fighting was just getting ready to get going. And that same God, to prepare them, didn't let them go the easy way through the way of the Philistines, but he took them down and brought them to a place where they couldn't swim it. He brought them down to a place where they couldn't win it. And he even brought them to a place where he could one more time show the armies of Pharaoh. Now, I'm almost done, but I want you to know that this same word is a God of the Canaanites as well. And that God of the Canaanites was the seafaring God because it was right there by the sea. He was the God of the mariners. He was the God of storms. This God later would be, in the Greeks would take him and make him Zeus. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but the Canaanites had gods too. And God not only destroys Pharaoh's and his army, but he destroys the most powerful Egyptian god when he destroys this army of Pharaoh. You see, they went down and said, oh, Baal-zephon. That's a place, that's a temple there that there's a referencing, but they referenced to God. And they said, oh, he'll take care of us. He's hemmed them up in the wilderness. He's put them in a place where they can't get away from us. Surely, now he had power over here in Egypt over all these other things, but their God is not as powerful as the God of our gods. Why else do you think that crazy Egyptians would run their chariot 600 strong into a Red Sea? You see, as much as we have faith, you know that we serve a God that there are other people that have sometimes more faith than we have. They'll run headlong with a bomb into a building. There are people that have all, I mean, they have strong faith, but listen, we think, man, they, you know, sometimes it takes more faith. You know, there's schools that are going to start that aren't like ours. And there's a lot more of them. And they're going to teach kids that they came from spittle. And that they magically transpired into a person through evolution. Do you know it takes a lot more faith to believe that and to teach it to children than it does to teach them that there's a God in heaven and that he loves them and that he made them? He spoke everything else into existence, but he got down and made man with his hands. Created him in his own image. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited when I get to study the Word of God and realize I have a God that is so powerful that on his way out and taking his people out of bondage, taking his people out of Dodge so that they could worship him again the way they wanted to. Do you realize that, and I don't know if you get this, but you know, they're going to worship out. And go back to Exodus chapter 8. I'm going somewhere and then we'll head for home real strong. Exodus chapter 8, I want you to see something. You see, this isn't the first time that they've been offered to be able to worship their God. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 25, Pharaoh tells Moses, just go on and worship here. Just go on and worship your God right here. He says in verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in this land. They don't want him to go out into the wilderness. Look, don't go where God told you to go. Just stay here and worship. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. I want you to see it now. Go with me. He says, 3 days in sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. See, God commanded them to go out into the wilderness. But you know what animal That Ammon, it was a ram. Same God that satanic people worship and all that. And it's the one that we cut the throat on, and they put the blood on the altar and they worship. See, if they were to worship the way God had told them to worship and make a sacrifice the way they had, those folks that had the God of gods was represented by the thing that their God had told them to sacrifice to him. The thing that represented him most was the thing that they had to leave town and do. And listen, if you can't see a connection now that they've gone out into the wilderness and they're headed down to the Red Sea, and there's one God, and you know, frogs, flies, locusts, lightning, hail and fire, the God of the Nile, all the ones that they had wiped out and had disproved, there was one. They hadn't killed any lambs in town yet. They killed a firstling, nothing with horns, but just a baby lamb to put the blood on the door. But they leave town and they're going to go out and do what God had told them to do. And they're going to take the thing that represent the Egyptians' greatest God, the one that should have been able to deliver them, the one that should have taken care of everything, but no. See, I think that there was a purpose and a plan. Look at verse 11, if you would. We'll skip on down in the chapter. Won't read everything, but you realize that Egyptians are coming down upon them now. They've seen them, and now God's people are beginning to get worried. You know how you get? Just like the people of Israel. When we don't see a way forward and we don't know how we're going to make it, we don't know how it's all going to go, we want to do what? We start looking back. Like we could have changed this. I followed you down here, God. I'm right where you want me to be. Now, they don't scream at God that way. Guess who they usually do? Same people the people do, the preacher. They start hollering to Moses. Look at verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us down here away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Look at verse 12. It is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Do you know, sometimes God's people, one of the dangers that we have is when we get to a place when we can't see a way and we don't know how we can go forward and we get fearful, too many times we want to go back. Why can't I just go back? You know, I never was convicted about what I wore before. I never was convicted about what I said before. You know, you say, I don't think that way. Listen, be honest, all right, tonight. Do you know when trouble hits and everything's going to you, you think, man, maybe if I just didn't know about all these things. Think about young people that grow up in a good church and know what they ought to do. You think about them and how when they make a choice, because again, from my perspective, just what I preached this morning, they don't have the understanding. They know what they should do, but they don't know why they ought to do it. You see, God said in verse 17 of chapter 13 that he had a purpose and a plan. I'm not going to take them the easy way around towards the Philistines. I'm going to take them the hard way, because just in case they'll repent and go back to Egypt when things get tough, that they'll want to turn around and turn tail and go and take their ball and go home, and they won't want to play the game. They won't want to run the race. They won't want to stick to the stuff when the going gets hard. Churches are full of people that want to wash out, do nothing, and just sit and think they're worshiping God because they show up in church on a Sunday morning, punch the time clock, and go home. Churches are full of people like that. You say, well, what's the old time way about? The old time way is getting down to a place where, you know, I heard somebody say this the other day, and I not knocking them, I thank God for it. But I mean, they just threw out how much money. They talked about, man, we're coming from a desert place. We never see a person saved. We've never seen a baptism in so long. But we got $5 million sitting in the bank. And I thought to myself, you know, and again, when we start running a commentary, they said, you know, why do we have $5 million in the bank? Well, we sold all the buses. We sold off some of the buildings. Again, it sounds like a sellout to me. sell out, sell out, sell out. They never did tell me what they started when they quit the bus ministry. They didn't say we gave up this to go over and do this. Folks, I know that sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it seems like there's no end in sight, but do you know, just like there's a Red Sea crossing, there's a crossing going to come for God's people. There's a crossing. You know, this isn't just like some story that's never going to have a happy ending. This is a story that has a happy ending in the scripture, but they continue on and they come to another battle. I can't tell you, folks, that if you'd be faithful tonight, when the waters open up and you cross over, that you're going to be raptured out of here tomorrow. But I can tell you that if you're faithful, when you get to the next battle, you'll be glad that you won this one. You'll be glad that you stayed faithful and watched God work. And you walked over and crossed over and prepared for the next battle, because one day will be the last one. And just like God said he would, he'll come back and take his own home with him. Look at the scripture. He says, I think this is wonderful. He says, you know, what was the plan? They said, was there no graves in Egypt in chapter 11? What did they come out here to do? To worship. You know, worshiping God is a primary purpose for every man's life. You know, when you really come to the place where you realize there's a God-shaped hole in your heart, you want to please him with your life. Whether you do it or not, whether you know it, you know that there is a God inside of yourself. Even the atheist on his deathbed realizes he sold his soul too cheap to the devil, and that there really is an Almighty, and he has done nothing to worship him. They went out there to worship. They're not focused on that. They're focused on their fear. What else did they go out there to do? I think they went out there to be set free from their bondage. But they said, what? Verse 12, we just read it. They said, look, we'd have been better off to stay shackled back there in Egypt, being their slaves and doing whatever they want us to do, instead of living in liberty. Do you know, we live in a country, and as much as we like to say we're free, you know, I heard a statistic this week that said that the number one expensive place. Now, I thank God for a lot of the freedoms we have in Florida, but the one number one that we just hit as a nation, out of the nation, as a state, was that this is the most expensive place to live in all 50 states. You say, I can't believe it. That's because you're in Polk County. You better thank God for that one too. But Florida is by capita the number one most expensive place to live in the United States. You say, I can't believe that, preacher. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying, one of the things for us, you say, well, I'm set free. Yeah, well, the taxes seem to keep going up. That land that, you know, you bought and paid for, somehow the state thinks they have a right to it too. And they keep charging me. And if I don't pay that bill, they'll come take it from me. Hey, I mean, we could go through all the things that we could complain about, but I'm glad that there's one thing that I got set free from a long time ago. And it was a life of sin that God came down and set me free from, the bondage of sin. These people that had got set free and they had had moments of freedom and thought it was great now said, boy, rather than death, we just like to be put back up to shackles. Listen, I want to be faithful unto death. I want to see my Savior face to face and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You say, preacher, it's not going to come to that. It may. We may come to a day where we got to be faithful. You say, preacher, I'm talking about, what if it comes to the place where they lock the doors like they did in some countries and some states in the country during COVID? What if it comes to a place where they lock the doors and they do that? You say, I'm not going to back up. I'm going to go forward with faith. Yeah. You know, a lot of people ran with fear. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for what we did here. But listen, if you think that was just a trial run, that was just a trial run to see how far they could go. And if it isn't the monkeypox, it'll be something else that they'll bring up, and they'll take a run on their money that they can shut us down. They got a right. Right now, you know why something else hasn't popped up? Number one, we're not ready for the election cycle yet. Number two, they're working to try to figure out how they can erode your freedoms and everything we argued why we should have been free the first time. Right now, they're calculating, writing, and trying to pass loophole laws to shut everything down that they couldn't shut down before. You say, preacher, that's not, that is how they think, because this is a battle.
Amen.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room.
Amen.
It's a fight and not a game. Brother, that's a roll. I said, run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. Hey, folks, I just want to tell you, listen, I'm up for the fight, not because of who I am, because God's got a plan.
Amen.
God has a purpose, and he's got the power to take care of it. Listen, can you imagine what it had been like that night to be scared to death for your life and the life of your children and have no idea how God could do anything to save you? But the God that had flooded the whole earth could move the water again. And he made a way in a place where there was no way. And he opened the waters. You know, it's just like God to make a way when there is no way.
Amen.
You know, he made a way for me in salvation. Read the verse with me. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Listen, a long time ago, I wasn't even born, but I was a part of God's plan.
Amen.
And the Savior left heaven and went to battle for me.
Right.
He went, it wasn't because he owed a debt,
right,
but I owed a debt. It wasn't because he deserved to die, but because I deserved to die. It didn't mean that he deserved hell, it was because I deserved hell. And when there was a place that I could not ever have crossed, there was no place that I could find a passing, there was no way that I could earn my way, he came and paid my way. He came and crossed over. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. I'm so thankful. Salvation was the first step of faith that I took in Jesus Christ. And every day of my life, if I'll follow, he has a plan and another step for me to take. He has a purpose for my life. He not only wants me to step out in faith, but he wants it to be for my good and his glory. Can you not see that in the story tonight? He says to Moses, he said, what are you doing talking to me? Tell the people to go forward. I brought you to this place. I had a plan and a purpose. Go forward. Step out by faith. Listen, I don't know about you. If you don't take anything else home with you tonight, it's go forward in faith. Take a step out on faith for God every time. If you know God has got a door open, when you step out by faith, it will be for your good and for God's glory. When they crossed over, listen, they watched the Pharaoh and his army, and that old Amun, the god that was hidden, he stayed hidden because God buried him in the water that night. And the God that is truly invisible got glory. You say, because he killed a bunch of people? No, because he's God and he had a plan, because his people came out on the other side. They didn't have mud on their shoes. There wasn't a drop of mud. Nobody less, you know, I don't know about you, but some of the muddy places I've been, and I was preaching on mud holes this morning, some of the places I've come, I've left shoes, and I've even left a pair of waders in a place. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, that place, if there was a place that should have been muddy, it should have been the bottom of that Red Sea. But they walked over on dry ground because we have a great God.
Amen.
Do you know, I can say the same thing about my soul. I stepped out, and one of the things I thought was going to be the hardest thing for me to ever do, when I committed to step out and believe in Jesus Christ in faith, when I stepped out, it was the greatest day of my life. What I thought would be the hardest thing, what I thought people would say, man, you've been lying to us all along, and you've been telling us a story, you've been playing church. When I stepped out and walked that aisle, not one person said to me, oh, you've been a hypocrite. They said, I'm so glad you got saved. Nobody ran down there and told me, man, you can't do it this way. I just had people saying, man, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad you stepped down and got it settled. Listen, tonight, I don't know where you are, whether you've ever accepted Christ as your Savior, or whether you are just in a place tonight where you are so fearful because you're not sure where you would spend eternity. You know, this tonight, God has the power to move you from death unto life, from doubts to I know so salvation. if you'll just come and put your faith and trust in him tonight. If you're here and you say, I'm a school teacher, preacher, and I don't know how I'm going to make it through this year, well, come to the altar tonight and lay down the fear and pick up some faith and go home with it tonight. And start your day off in faith in God that you can't do it, but God can. How about if you're a dad or a family member tonight and you've got troubles in your family that you can't fix? Lay some fear down tonight and pick up some faith and go home tonight believing God can. How about you say, well, preacher, I'm a grandparent. Like your grandkids don't have any problems? I just passed from death unto life into grandparents. Amen? Amen. Well, maybe it's the other way, life unto death. Anyway, but as a grandparent, you say, what do you think? Man, I've told you before, it's a precious soul, but one day they're going to need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but I worry. I worry about that soul, that family member. You say, well, did you witness? Yeah, sometimes I can witness, but they won't listen to me. And they need God to step in their life. They need to see a miracle in their life. They need to see God do something big. You say, what do you need to do? What do you do in that situation? You come lay down some fear and trust God by faith. I told you about some stories this morning about God answering prayer. If God can move the water and part the Red Sea, don't you think God can move a tumor out of somebody's body? Amen. Don't you think God can touch and heal? Don't you think God can raise somebody up that would be surely dead if it wasn't for his touching hand? Amen. That's the God we serve. How come we don't pray to him in faith anymore like we used to? Because we're carrying too much fear. Why don't you come lay it down tonight and pick up some faith and pray like you used to and just trust God to do the unthinkable. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand to your feet? If God spoke to your heart tonight, I don't know if you need to be saved. I want to meet you in the front and take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you're one of God's people and you're facing something that you just don't know how you can face it. Why don't you come and leave some fear and pick up some faith tonight? As Brother Bert sings, as the musicians play, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender
your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and God's people are praying, I'm sure, not only at the altar but in the pew. When God spoke to your heart tonight, I really pray that you'll trust him by faith and leave some of that fear behind, that you'll give it to him and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you by faith. I've been carrying this load way too long, and it's not something I need to carry as a believer. Maybe you're here and you're worried about, you've been coming to this church over and over again, you're scared about stepping out and joining this church. If you're saved, you've been baptized, you can come by statement. Whatever God is asking you to do, maybe you need to move your membership tonight and it's been a scary thing for you. Why don't you do that tonight if God's asking you to do that, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. surrender all.
Sing it with us now.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Even the fear.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in
His presence daily
live.
That's the key.
I surrender
did what God asked you to do tonight. I thank you, ladies, that sang tonight, the choir. What a wonderful job everybody did today. And I know that there were young people that got saved today. We praise God for the baptism we had this morning. And just again tonight, let me remind you, I know that sometimes maybe you laid enough fear down tonight to take some of those tracks by the back doors with you. You may find yourself in a position this week that you wish you had one for somebody that you need to give it to. And so just take them with you. And then ask God, God, you show me the person you want me to give him. Give me the faith to step out and give it to him this week. Amen? And let's go ahead and pray before we're dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Jesse. Brother Jesse Maxwell, our youth pastor, you come and pray for us. And make sure you pray for the school and our school year this tonight.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the service tonight. We want to thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would help us to dwell and remember what you've spoken to us, Lord. I pray that you would bless the school year as we kick it off tomorrow, Lord. I pray that you would have your hand of blessing on the school. I pray for the teachers and the administrators and the staff, Lord, that you would strengthen them. I pray for the students, Lord. I pray for everyone involved in the school that they would abandon their fear and pick up the faith, Lord. We pray that you would keep us safe as we go our separate ways. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.